Huge announcement from the FDA banning red dye number 3 in our foods, in our oral medications. And what's interesting about this story is that it was more than 3 decades after it was already banned in our cosmetics. What in the world took so long? I don't know. And is this the beginning of more of these types of dyes being eliminated? We'll see. We're talking right now to Dr. Andrew Wong of Hartford Healthcare with offices right here in Westport. And Dr. Wong is also the Hartford Healthcare Medical Group Medical Director for the Fairfield region. Dr. Wong, welcome back to the show. First of all, were you surprised by this announcement from the FDA?
We've been seeing some signs that states have individually banned red dye number 3, and this goes back to about a year ago. California decided to ban red dye number 3, a couple other states, Washington State, Illinois, and then across the world, the EU has banned red dye number 3 for a number of years, even China and Japan, Australia. So I think we knew this was coming. The thing is, this is still kind of a departure from the way that the FDA normally does things. So in a way, the FDA normally reacts to scientific data. Someone comes out with a paper that says red dye number 3 has been definitively linked to cancer in humans, and the FDA will then make the ban at that point. But this is a little bit of a change in the way that they operate, in that we have plenty of studies that show that red dye number 3 can cause cancer in lab animals, thyroid cancer in particular. But this is, I feel, kind of the first time that they've actually gone out a little bit and banned something that hasn't definitively been proven to cause cancer in human beings. But, you know, something has to be done. The rates of cancer have gone up every year over the past 30 years, particularly in young people. So something had to be done.
But am I insane, Dr. Wong? Don't answer that literally. But I thought red dye number
three. You're not insane.
I thought red dye number 3, though, was something that was proven to be causing it. So for example, like the cherries, for example, I never say I'm correct.
Maraschino cherries.
Yep. That was, I feel like, revealed. Oh, my gosh. I feel like decades ago on YouTube that like blew up and so many people didn't eat them anymore and yada, yada, yada. And a lot of people pointed to that and changing people's characteristics. And like kids not eating them because it wasn't good for them and all that. Like, I thought there were maybe not the cancer causing aspect, but that it was not good for especially children to have red dye number 3.
Yeah. I think to me, probably the most significant part about red dye number 3, if we look at the products that it's in, Airheads candies, Valentine's Day is around the corner. A lot of the Valentine's Day foods have that pinkish reddish tint. They have red dye number 3, including my favorite, the Valentine's Day hearts. And then we also look at strawberry milkshakes. We look at also popsicles and lollipops. These are foods that are A, ultra processed, but then B, they're really geared towards younger people. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the amount of red dye number 3 ingested, in fact, kids on a kind of pound-by-pound basis ingest twice as much red dye number 3 as adults.
I'm sure they do. Because look at all the products that it's in. You know what I mean? And that actually leads me to my next question, Dr. Wong, is so what happens when you ban something like red dye? Okay, so like you just mentioned so many different foods that I don't know what you do now. So for Skittles, for example, so what, are we never going to see red Skittles again? Are we not going to see, like, when you ban something like this, do you slowly start to see the market eliminate anything that has it? How does that work?
Yeah, I think the FDA tried, so they set up a reasonable goal. Red dye number 3 has to be banned from all food products by 2027. Now, it's also in pharmaceuticals, which is a little scary. And pharmaceuticals actually have to remove it from their products in 2028. So I think we are going to see the food, and many food companies have actually, M&M's, Mars, Twizzlers, kind of like the bigger candy companies mm-hmm. that have international consumers, they've already removed red dye number 3. and substituted it with, you know, another dye called Red Dye 30, which is also synthetic. But I think that one is actually probably a little bit better. There haven't been any studies that show that it causes cancer.
Okay.
Red dye number three, by the way, yeah, there's a theory that in children it can worsen sensory processing disorders and ADD.
I believe it. So I believe that. And Dr. Wong, you and I have talked about this before. It's literally why I cannot give Chase Skittles. I don't obviously think that Chase has any kind of a processing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when he was a kid, he like little, I mean, and he tried candy for the first time. Anytime this kid would have Skittles, he literally, I always called him like the Incredible Hulk, not because he was, you know, a superhero, but actually just the opposite. He was destructive. He was not nice. He was not the little boy that I always knew him to be. And I was like, what happened here? And it's because he had Skittles.
He even knows now.
He's like, I can't eat these. He'll go, you know, if he's with friends or whatever, and they're like, hey, do you want some? He's like, I can't eat those. My mom tells me I'm like a nightmare. But it's so true. I believe that it totally has an impact. And I wish I had never given him those as a kid. I definitely, I mean, it was only a few times, but still, I have nightmares about the Skittles. Good God.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. In a way, red dye number three has been ubiquitous. You know, we're all going to consume it, probably still, even if we're vigilant about it. But that's okay, because it's really, I think we're beginning to see kind of a realization that it's really more about moderation. There was the information about alcohol contributing to cancer now. So, no, I can't have alcohol. You can have it, you know, maybe one or two drinks a few times a year at the most, maybe once a week. But it's really about moderation. So as long as we're not, packing. I think Skittles actually removed red dye number three recently. But, you know, there's other dyes as well.
I still don't trust it.
So.
Trust me. The few times I saw Chase become the Hulk, I was like, nope, never again. That's a hard no for me in our household now.
For me, it's Pez, actually. Pez.
Really?
You know, my heart goes out to Pez because, you know, it's a small company and they're based in Connecticut.
Right.
But they're still using red dye number three. But, you know, is it okay to have a Pez maybe once a year for, you know, just nostalgic value? I think absolutely. It's really all about an accumulation of all the stressors we have in our daily lives, whether it's, are we getting enough sleep? Are we staying fit? Are we staying away from alcohol? Are we staying away from, you know, smoking and vaping? And then red dye number three is probably one factor amongst many that can contribute to chronic illnesses, which in this case is cancer, which is why it was really hard to get data to show that red dye number three contributes to cancer in human beings, because how are you going to track, you know, we all have red dye number three, so who are you going to compare yourself to? It's really hard to do studies on something like this. So this is something that we had to do. The rates of cancer, again, they've gone up about 1-2% per year over the last 30 years. So we know something's doing it.
And it almost gets to a point, Dr. Wong, where it's like, if there's enough, at least, I mean, like you said, maybe we don't have enough studies, but it's if there's enough of a fear and there's enough data that is showing that cancer rates are going up, I mean, to cut the things that are really unnecessary. I mean, we're talking about turning things red. Essentially, that is what red dye is used for. It's to turn things red. And who cares? To me, I think it's something that we've become very used to. But if I always say, if there's things we could do proactively, then you do it. I don't know. It seems like a very no-brainer situation, eliminating red dye.
Yeah, that's very true. Does it serve any purpose to give us more longevity to the food, to give it a longer shelf life? Nope.
No.
Does it make it more nutritious in any way? Is it a vital amino acid or vitamin that our body needs? Absolutely not.
Right.
And there's substitutes. There's plenty of other natural dyes that I'd recommend, like beet juice and paprika, for example. A lot of natural foods have that coloring.
That's very true.
So I think companies will make that adjustment and get rid of red dye number three, which is, by the way, derived from petroleum. So no way that is good for us.
I can pretty much guarantee you that no one should be guzzling down petroleum. So there you go. Dr. Wong, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we will talk again soon.
You're most welcome. Always a pleasure, Melissa. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.